Tonight's shiur, Parshios Nitzavim VeYelech. First of the Parshios Nitzavim begins, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You're all standing today before Hashem Elokeichem. Rashi points out, you're all standing here today, Harbei Chastem L'makom B'lo Asa Adchem Klaya, even though you did bad things and you anger Hashem, but still, you're still standing here. Rei Atem Chayimim L'fanav. The Chida points out in our Shmona Esrei, we daven daily. If you ever counted how many Shemas of Hashem, there's 26 Shemas of Hashem. And he says this is to counter the Klalas and the Tochacha. Right? The Tochacha we had in last week's Sedra, there's also 26 Shemas as well. So to counter the Klalas, 26 Shemas in the Klalas, we have the 26 Shemas that we daven. Mele, that's Ramuz kind. Right? Atem Nitzavim Hayam. Nitzavim, you're standing. When do we stand? In Shmona Esrei. You're standing. Ah, you angered Hashem, but still, why are you standing? You're standing. You're saying Shmona Esrei. And as a result, you're mentioning the 26 names, 26 times, Shem Hashem, which goes against the 26 names of Hashem in the Tochacha. He adds a little bit more, that the 26 names of Shem Hashem is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in Gematria is 26. So 26 names of Hashem times 26 is 676. 676 is keneged the number of letters in the Tochacha. There's 676 letters in the Tochacha, so the Shemas that we mentioned when we daven, it's 26 times 26, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, 676, which counters the Tochacha in that the Tochacha is 776 letters. Okay, Pasuk Pasuk Tet Zayin. Pasuk says, "V'tiru et shikutzehem v'esgiluleihem." You'll see the idols, the shikutzehem, giluleihem of the goyim, the eitz of heaven, kesev azav asher imahem, etc. So Rashi says, "What is these lashonuses over here referring to the avodah zara?" It says, "And you're going to see their shikutzehem." Rashi says, "Al shem shayu meusim kashkatzim." That they are disgusting. They're ma'us. They're disgusting like shratzim, like these insects. And they're gilulehem. Gilulehem, Rashi says, is lashon glal. Glal is excrement. Rashi says, shayu musrachim mu'usim keglal. That they're smelly, they're stinky, like excrement. And that's how the Torah describes what these idols are. So the Brisker Rav says, very strange then, the next pasuk. Here are these gross, disgusting things. And the next pasuk continues, Pen yesh bechem isho isha, o mishpacha, o shevet, asher livavo ponea yomim Hashem. And there might be a man or woman, they might turn themselves away from Hashem and, you know, go after these things. How can that be? They're gross, disgusting, smelly things, as the Torah describes them. And then it says, "Bye, but there might be people of the Yidden, they're going to go after them." Why would in the world would they even go after such things? So he says the answer is in the first word. That is, Vatiru Echikutseya. It's all a matter of vision. It says we see here the power of a person's sight, his vision. When you see something, it makes an impression on you. It can be gross, it can be disgusting, whatever it is, but just because you saw it, it has an effect on you, and one thing leads to the next, and it gets worse and worse until you end up doing the avodah zara in this case. So Maisa, with the Brisker Rav, he says there was a Talmud Chacham that he lived in the Tel Aviv area. And many areas in Tel Aviv are not the most sneeze, etc., as you may well know, or probably don't know because you're never there, Baruch Hashem. But there was this Talmud Chacham that was living there, the community over there. But he was didn't want it to affect, you know, his family, whatever. So he made sure he lived in a home, you know, away from the, you know, the hustle and bustle, and so he wouldn't, you know, be there. And he made even a fence around his whole yard, so he, you know, make sure his kids didn't wander out from the Dalai Lamas. And when they had to go here, there, in school, he never let his kids go out by himself. He always would malav them, take them, make sure they go, you know, safe places. They're not, you know, things that they shouldn't see or whatever. Anyways, mom is serious nefesh to live there. So it got to the point where he just couldn't anymore. I mean, you know, every second, kids, take him here, take him there. You know, he couldn't turn his back for a second. So he just said, that's it. He's got to leave. He decided he's going to move to Bnei Brak. So he's announced he's moving. So there are other Talmidei Chachamim in the area where they're also, you know, doing this. And he said, listen, you can't leave. You know, you're mechazik the community. We need you. You can't leave us. And not only that, if you leave, others are going to follow, and then the whole community is going to fall apart. So they begged him not to go. So he heard their tzad, and he said, I'll ask the Rebbe. So he went to the Briskara, and he told him the story. So he says, I don't know, on the one hand they want me there, on the other hand I'm worried about my kids, what they're going to see, and this and that, you know, they're getting older, I don't know what to do. So the Brisker Rav told him, you're making a big mistake. He says, you think, why do you have to leave? Because of what your kids are going to see. What about yourself? He says, you have to worry what you're going to see. You think, oh no, I'm above all this, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. Yeah, you think so. But even as a mature adult Talmid Chacham, even what we like we said before, but tiru at shikutzim, you just look at the stuff, which is gross, disgusting. But you look at it; it's already softens you up, and it has an effect on you. Along the similar lines, there's a rather famous vort from Shlomo Shvadron. He said, name of his Rebbe, Rav Leib Chassman's, Zatzal, that he says in the order of the pasuk, that's what happens. But tiru et shikutzei as shikutzeim b'sgiuleim. We said that's disgusting. That's gross. It's right. But we said, but tiru, but you see it has an effect on you. What does it say next in the pasuk? Tiru et shikutzeim b'sgiuleim. Next, eitz ve'evin. What started off to be this gross, disgusting thing, all of a sudden it's now eitz ve'evin. It's wood, stone, not so bad. And then kesev is ahav asherim mehem. And the next step is, all of a sudden it's kesev zahav. What started to be this disgusting thing then turns into stone and wood until eventually it's gold and silver. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. It's great. Whatever. It has an effect on you. It's all because it starts because of what you see. Rav Shalom used to say that he felt it himself once. He felt this idea. That once he was traveling by boat in those days to Chutzlars from Eretz Yisrael, and he was sitting on the boat with everybody, and the boat was getting close to Venice. Passing, you know, Venice on the shore. So all of a sudden people got up, look at that sight over there, Venice, and they ran to the rail, and they point, wow, look at that, isn't it beautiful, that whatever. So he's like, what's the commotion? So he slowly walks over there. He sees there's a bunch of idols and things, you know, on the coast or whatever. So he goes, shakesta shakzenu. Some have a minute to spit, you know, when you see these things and you say shakesta shakzenu. He's like, oh, gross. That's it. And he walked. He said, I went and I sat down and, fine. Then I got to where I was going, whatever. Eventually, made my way back to Eretz Yisrael. So we're coming back, you know, around the same route. And same thing happens. We get near Venice, and a bunch of people go, oh, look, Venice, look, come, look what it is. And everybody's going to the thing. He said, I got up, I went there, and to tell you the truth, I wasn't so disgusted as I was the first time. I saw it once already, it wasn't so bad. First time, okay. He says, Mama says, what happened? He said, years later, I made a trip again by boat and passed by the same place again. And everybody runs, oh, Venice, Venice, oh, wouldn't you know it? This time, I ran up to the railing. Yeah, let me see. And not only that, I asked the guy next to me for his binoculars. You know, he says, it's unbelievable. That starts with this. It all started from that first scene. Be very careful when the person sees. Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis says, brings the Indian of Tshuva, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokech V'shamata B'kolo. It's an interesting Chidah. Chidah says the word V'shavta is spelled Vav Shin Beis Tav V'shavta. It says these are the same letters, just change the vowels underneath, and you get V'shabbos. So we see there's a connection between Shabbos and Shuvah. What's the connection? He says that, not just the connection, he says Shabbos is a vital ingredient to do proper Shuvah. How so? says when a person does an avera, it creates all kinds of these destroying angels in Shemayim when a person does an avera. Now, when a person does tshuva, he gets rid of these angels. However, these are very strong, big, many angels created by an avera, and to combat them, you do a mitzvah here and there. It's hard. It's not going to do the trick. Every mitzvah has an effect. It gets rid of these angels, but there's so many, so big and strong, so you have to do mitzvah, many, many mitzvahs. But okay, how many mitzvahs can a person do b'chol in his life? So therefore, you try to do mitzvah that is all-encompassed. That's a tremendous amount of mitzvahs in that one mitzvah. What is that? He says Shabbos. Why? Because Chazal tell us the Shabbos is shkula k'neged kol mitzvahs. So Mele, by keeping Shabbos, you're basically doing 613 mitzvahs. So that's like I say, chavilah of mitzvahs. It's a bunch of mitzvahs at once. You keep on Shabbos, 613. Whoa. So that is an effect. It's not just a mitzvah here and there. It's like 613 in one shot. It has a tremendous effect to get rid of these angels. Okay, that's the chidah. That's the connection between Shabbos and Veshavta and Shuvah. However, it goes further. Rav Eliyapian said, he once heard from the Chafetz Chaim an incredible cheshbon. He says, we mentioned Shabbos, right? Each, the mitzvah of Shabbos, 613, fine. The Gra takes it further. He says that when a person learns Torah, okay, each letter is a mitzvah, at least each word, minimum, is a mitzvah, the Gra says, for sure. Every word of Torah is a mitzvah. Okay? Mitzvah deraisa. Okay, so you learn one word of Torah, boom, you got yourself a mitzvah deraisa. Fine. Now, but we said that on Shabbos, right, the mitzvah on Shabbos is shekula k'neged kol mitzvahs, is worth 613 times. So therefore, when you learn a word of Torah on Shabbos, you don't just have, that word of Torah, you have a time 613. That makes it even more. One word. Now, more than that. Ben Ish Chai says, it's Ben Ish Chai in Shmos, he brings down from the Mekubalim, he says that great is the power of Lumen of Torah, that when a person learns on Shabbos, 1,000 times more than when he learns during the week. Okay? So you learn that one word of Torah on Shabbos, you have the time 613, mitzvah of Shabbos, times 1,000, the Ben Ish Chai says the learning on Shabbos is 1,000 times more than if you do the same thing you learn during the week. We're not finished yet. Okay, now, the Chafetz Chaim made a cheshbon once, that on the average a person could read about 200 words a minute. So now, we have, in 1 minute of learning Torah on Shabbos, you have 200 words times 613 because it's Shabbos, which is 122,600 mitzvahs, times 1,000, I don't know, just getting into the billions, whatever, times 1,000, as the Ben Ish Chai says, the power of learning on Shabbos. Okay, so we have 122,600 mitzvahs times 1,000 when a person learns 1 minute of learning on Shabbos. Not finished. You're not going to just learn 1 minute, of course. What are you going to do? You're going to want to learn it, put in an hour. Like, why just a minute? So an hour. How many minutes are an hour? 60. So times the cheshbon by 60. Okay, so we have 613, right, times 200 we did, times 60 gives you what? 7,356,000 mitzvahs for 1 hour of learning times 1,000 times more based on the Chazon Ish. So that's the vort. I sent this vort to somebody this week, beginning of the week, and somehow it got back to me. My brother saw it somehow, I don't know how. He lives in Toronto. And he, through my uncle, got back to me. He wanted to add to it. He says it goes further. So he pointed out that in Orchat Sadikim, there's one of the Shars, Shara Nava. In Shara Nava, the Orchat Sadikim says that when a person is humble and does an act, he says even a small act, but he does it with humility, it's worth 1,000 more times than if a person does even a great act, but he does it with gaiva. Okay? So here's another 1,000. And then in Shara Simcha, says Orchat Sadikim, and if a person has a mitzvah, regular, if he does it b'simcha, he says it's 1,000 times more schar than if he does it regular, if he does it besimcha. So my brother said, so therefore we can add to the cheshbon. Besides the 7,356,000 timing 1,000 by the chazanish, right, on learning on Shabbos, if he does so on Shabbos with humility and he learns besimcha, times another 1,000, I don't think there's going to be too much left of those Malachi Kabbalah after all this is finished, and you got yourself a wonderful means of tshuva, learning Torah. It's just that you have to give up a little bit of your rest in the afternoon, but from all this, it's worth it. Inyan of tshuva, tshuva needs the siyata d'shmaya. It's an interesting story I saw. Rav, he's no longer alive, he used to be the Rav of Rishon LeZion. His name is Shmuel Trovit. And he said, he relates that once a elderly Yid came to him, he's in his 90s, elderly Yid came to him. And he's very upset. And he says, what's wrong? He tells him the story. He says, he's originally from Russia. Okay? And way back when, like 60 years ago, he said, I was in Russia. I had a business going with my brother. He ran the business. I was working with him and others, right? This business of leather factory, whatever. And we had a worker who wasn't reliable. So my brother let him go. He fired him because he wasn't reliable. He got upset, the guy. And he came and he wanted to bemoshin on us. So he went to this things like the KGB type thing. It was in Russia at the time, and he was malshin on us. Now my brother got very upset. You know, he did such a terrible thing. So he wanted to get him back. So my brother wrote a very stark letter against this guy because he knew the guy himself did certain things against, you know, wouldn't go against the law. So he wrote a letter against him to send to the KGB to get him back. So my brother gave me the letter, he said, and it also goes back 60 years ago, he gave me this letter, and he says, here, mail this to the KGB. So I went and I mailed it. In the end, what happened, sure enough, they came, they broke into his house, and they gave him a huge fine, and they caused him a lot of tsars, you know, this guy. So eventually, Baruch Hashem, I did tshuva, and I'm a Baal tshuva, and I'm living here in Israel, everything's fine. But now, you know, I'm an older man, 90s, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to live. And I feel terrible that I had a chalik in, you know, getting this guy in trouble, this yid. You know, I mailed the letter. And, you know, I wanted to do tshuva. So I started to think, how can I do tshuva? I started looking into this to try to, you know, find this guy. In the end, the guy's not alive anymore. And I have a couple of dollars, he says, in Russia. I tried to say, hey, maybe you can find a family. That nothing came out of it. I'm nothing. So he started crying to Rav Trovitz, and he said, listen, what am I going to do? My end's coming. I'm an older man. And I don't want to go with this on my, you know, cheshbon to Olam Ha'emes. You know, that this, like, I was moshing on this guy. What I need is, I need a, you know, a kapara. So the Rav said, listen, you know, really, the only thing you can do is you have to find out, Berach, how much money you caused this guy, you know, to lose, that he had to pay, and you have to pay his relatives. I don't know his relatives. He says, okay. So the guy was really upset, so he said, okay, come back in 10 days, let me think about it. So the Rav's thinking maybe he'll get a base in together, and meanwhile, it didn't need 10 days. 3 days later, knock on the door, the Rav's house, the same yid comes by, and he says, Rav, it's okay, everything worked out. He says, everything okay, what happens all of a sudden? He says, I'm not going to believe this. He says, I wasn't feeling well the other day. And so I went to the doctor, went to Kupat Cholim. So I got there a little bit early. So I decided to sit outside by the bus stop, you know, kind of, you know, relax a little bit before I go into the doctor. So I'm sitting there. There's another yid, older man also, sitting there, whatever. And we're schmoozing about this and that. It happens to be, the guy tells me, and I tell, you know, I can tell he was also Russian, he said that he came from such and such a town, and I said, oh, I thought, I don't believe it. The guy that, you know, got in trouble in Russia, he's from that same town. So he said, I figured, okay, shot in the dark. I said, you wouldn't by any, you know, wild imagination happen to know this guy. So he says, of course I know this guy. He says, you do? He says, of course, he's my father-in-law. He says, what? Well, he's not alive anymore, but he was my father. He says, he was your father-in-law? He goes, yeah, I married his daughter. He says, I don't believe it. It's unbelievable. He said, so he said, and he told him the whole story, why he's all excited, whatever. And he goes, sure, you know. He says, come over to my house, whatever. So after the doctor's appointment, he went over to the guy's house. So his wife, which was the daughter of this guy, you know, was there. And they started talking about the whole Meissen. She says, of course, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was a girl, and I remember the KGB broke into her house and got my father in trouble. And I remember exactly how much money was involved and how much they fined him. I remember all the details. So he goes, oh, Baruch Hashem. So he said, now tell me, are there any, you know, tzatzaim, any relative, you know, children or whatever? She goes, yeah, the guy has three sons, my brothers, you know, three sons. And they're the heirs, you know, of Kuyalacha, Yerushim, the brothers, her brothers. And they said they're still living in Russia. So he knew now the brothers, he knew how much money. All that was left to do was to pay them, you know, give them the money, you know, return the money that he had, the loss that he caused the father. So as it had just so happened, he left Russia, this guy. He left in his in a bank, and he was not allowed to take his money out. So he had left in this savings account a sum of money which he could never take out. It happened to be almost exactly the amount of money that he owed these three brothers. So he got in touch with the bank, and he couldn't take the money out. I said, fine, give this money to these three people, equal share to all three of them, and make sure they send me a Kabbalah, so a receipt. So sure enough, this money that he had left in Russia went to these three guys. They sent them a receipt, received it in the mail, got a receipt from all three of them. They all were paid off, and everything was good. So the old man says to Rav Travis, he says, here's the three receipts. Rabbi, when it comes my time to go, I want you to put this on my kever, these three receipts, so that when I come to the Beis Shemala, they'll see that everything's was in order. So fine, takes receipts. Sure enough, you know, not too long later, he was nifter, and the Rav did as he said. He put the three receipts on his kever, and sure enough, the guy came to the Rav in a dream, and he's smiling. He says, Rav, everything worked out. Sure enough, the cheshbon was good. They were paid off, and the whole thing was clean. I came here clean. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Further in the Inyan of Tshuva, which of course very relevant, no coincidence. These parshias are read this before Shani Yom Kippur. It says the Lobish Shemayim. He says the Torah is Lobish Shemayim, and the Ramban says again this is referring to Tshuva. Tshuva is Lobish Shemayim. Anybody can do it, etc., etc. The interesting mashal saw from Rav Yisrael Miruzhin. It's the following mashal. He says, there was once a ganav, and he had his eye on this fancy mansion or whatever he wanted to rob. So one night, he makes his way to this mansion, and he wants to break in, you know, and steal. So it's the middle of the night, and he's trying to get in, but he can't get in. You know, they knew how to protect their house. You know, everything was locked with solid steel. And that he went round the house, could nowhere of getting in, nothing, no way to get penetrate the house. So he said, "Oh, now what? You know, it came for nothing." He said, "Ah, I know. Maybe I can come in through the roof." So he climbs up to the top. He's on the roof of this house, and he's looking for a way to break in through the roof. Looks here, looks there, that, nothing, no way to get in. So he goes, ah, I don't believe it. What a waste. So he sees on the roof a bolt, like a nail, like a bolt, right, kind of sticking out of the roof. So he says, listen, I came, you know, all this way. I'm not going to live with nothing. Okay, I'll take a bolt with me. So he pulls out the bolt. All of a sudden, he hears a smash, bang, like tremendous noise, crashing. He's like, what? So people in the house all woke up. And they said, what's going on? They saw that in their fancy ballroom, the chandelier came crashing down. Little did he know that this bolt that he took out of the roof was attached to the chandelier underneath. And now the chandelier came crashing down or whatever, so they quickly, you know, they put two and two together, and they caught the guy, Bekitzer, and they took him into the police and this, and he went in front of the judge. And the judge heard the story, and he says, okay, you have to pay for this chandelier. So he says, that's not fair. He says, why not? You broke the chandelier, didn't you? He goes, yeah, but I didn't know. I saw this bolt. How was I supposed to know it? Underneath this bolt was a chandelier. I didn't see the chandelier. I took the bolt. You can't charge me for the bolt. I paid for the bolt. I'm not going to pay for the chandelier. So he said, nah, nothing doing. Who told you to steal the bolt? I mean, well, you shouldn't steal the bolt either. It's tied to the chandelier. You're a tough luck. You have to pay for the chandelier. And how is the psak? What's a nimshal? So too, when a person is averus, sometimes we don't even see it here, but maximum we see are the repercussions of averus here in this world. That's if we're lucky. You know, a person does an avera and he sees, because I, you know, like what this guy saw, you know, in our previous story, he was said this in his mouth, shot a guy, and then he got in trouble. You can see what your actions do sometimes. But that doesn't end there. When a person does an avera, it affects all the, like the Nefesh HaChaim says, he speaks about in great detail of how one avera affects all the world, the upper world, and the Kisi HaKavod, and the Shem Hashem, and the Malachim, and the unbelievable, but one avera, what effects it has in all the worlds, not just here, it's not just what a person does here. So as a result, a person could say, you know, same thing, yeah, but I didn't know, I just pulled out the bolt, you know, I didn't realize what's behind the scenes over here. But like we saw in the story, that according to the story, that's not an excuse. Okay, it doesn't matter. You have to pay for everything. However, Kodesh Baruch Hu, when it comes to us, Baruch Hashem, he's an Avraham Rachman, and he has Rachmanis on us. He only makes us pay for what we know, what we can see, what we know we did wrong. And all this goes on in the upper world. There, Hashem says, you know, I'll have Rachmanis on you. You don't know what's behind the scenes. I understand. So I'll go easy on you as far as that goes. It touches up the pasuk, therefore, Lecha Hashem Chesed. Why is Hashem Chesedik? Ki ata mishalem ish kemaasehu. Because you pay a person according to his maisi, meaning the way what he did, what he sees he did wrong, and not for what's really going on behind the scenes. They say that's also touched in one of the psukim. We say in Yigdal, Gomel ish Chesed kemifalo. No sen larasha ra kerishaso. That when it comes to good, it's not that way. When a person does good, then he pays him for all the good that he's affecting in all the worlds and everything, on the good side. Can we follow when he does good? All the good that comes out from his actions, even though he doesn't realize it. There Hashem pays the good. But no sein lo rasha ra, only karisha so. Only to his rasha. When he did wrong, then he gets paid for that thing when he sees here, but not for what goes on in the next one. Okay. Pasuk says, Hakel Asam, we'll move on to Parshas Vayelech. It says, Hakel Asam, the mitzvah of Hakel. So it says, Hakel Asam, Hanashim, Vanashim, Ve'ataf. And they come to the Beis HaMikdash to hear the Torah read, etc. And the king. So there's a famous Gemara in Chagiga. It says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokhan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Chisma, they came to visit Rabbi Yeshua, and they, Rabbi Yeshua asked them, tell me what you learned today, and they said, no, we came to hear from you, and you know, I want to hear what you learned. He told them this drasha that they heard, and that is, what's Hanashim? Hanashim says, the drasha we hear is the following. The Anashim, why do they come to hear the Torah? Nilmod, says the Gemara. The Hanashim, the women come, why? Lishmoa, to hear. And what about the taf, the children? Why bring the children? The children are not going to, you know, learn, not going to hear as kids. So why do they come? No ten to kedei latet schar lemeviim. Simple pshat is so that they have to come anyways because they can't be left at home by themselves. But mele by being a command, so the parents get reward for bringing their kids because it says you have to bring your kids, so they get rewarded for that. Okay, the Benu Yada has the following question about the women here. He says, I can understand men come to learn. Fine. Now what's Shadi says, women come to hear? What does that mean? Manashach. He says, if they can understand what's going on, so they're also coming to learn. So why does it say they're coming just to hear? And if you're going to say, nah, because they don't understand what's going on, they don't understand. So then what's it mean? They're coming to hear. What use is hearing if you don't understand the word you're listening to? They're coming to hear, but they don't understand the word. So why are they, they're coming to hear? What is it coming to hear for? So the Bnei Yada says an unbelievable thing. He says, really? The women don't understand. They don't understand. So why are they coming to listen? They don't understand. He says, incredible thing. There's a Zohar that says there was once a tzaddi that was in the next world. He saw the next world, whatever. And he saw women being osik b'torah, their own base medrash there in the next world. And he said, that's very strange. Where do these women get to? They never learned Torah here in this world. How do they get to know Torah all of a sudden if they're learning in the Masifta Derekia? You're learning the Shiva Shomal. But they never learned Torah. How is it? So it says the Zohar, unbelievable thing. It says, you know how they know Torah? They know Torah because they heard the men learning. You know, the husband has a chavrusa in the dining room, the woman's in the kitchen, you know, making shabbos. She's listening, you know, what's going on there, you know, they're learning. Or even going to the shir, shabbos shuva drasha, or whatever, the women, the men's nashim, they're listening. They don't understand. They don't understand the learning. He says, but they don't understand. But their neshama absorbs the learning, even though they don't consciously understand it. But their neshama does; it absorbs it. And then when they get to the next world, it comes out, and that's how they're able to learn in the next world. So therefore, yeah, then women come to hear, not to understand. They don't understand. So why come to hear? It's meaningless. Not meaningless, because then they'll have the Torah for the next world when they get to the next world, because their neshama was absorbed this. He says a beautiful taich based on this. He says, and that applies to the women and the children. But the children, he says, are busy running around, so they're not listening to anything. You know, so they don't get, they're not lilmo, not lishmo either, because they're not listening. You have to at least listen, or you have to be passive, but you can't be busy with other things. So that's why that's them going there for the gomorrah. So why bring the kids? They're not getting anything out of it. You're right, just for the gift's heart for the parents. He said, great taich in the Gemara. It says that Rabbi Yeshua, after he asked, you know, Rabbi Yochanan Broche and Rabbi Elezer to tell him what, you know, what they heard, and they told him this vor, his comment to that was, he goes, oi, he said, I can't believe it. Margali tova haitali b'yedchemi, kashin la'abdemi meni. I had a jewel, you had a jewel, you know, that for me. And you almost didn't tell me, I almost lost it. You know, you had a jewel for me. So he said, the fact that not everybody has the girsa, but according to this girsa, haitali, that this was a jewel leaf for me. He says, why was that a jewel dafkin for Rabbi Yeshua? Listen to this, unbelievable. He says, because who was Rabbi Yeshua? In Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was praising his children, his talmidim. And one of his talmidim was Rabbi Yeshua. And what was the praise that he gave Rabbi Yeshua? Ashrei yoladato. Happy is the one that gave birth to you. So the Vartanura says, meaning what? Says that his mother, Rabbi Yeshua's mother, used to bring his crib into the Beis Medrash, that he should be in the Beis Medrash when he was a little baby, in the Beis Medrash. So that Ashri Yolat says the Penishchai, beautiful. He says, you just told me a beautiful idea. Why? He says, because I always wondered, what good was it that my mother brought my crib into the Beis Medrash? I didn't understand the word. I'm a little baby, okay? He says, now I understand. That's the Marli Tova Haitali B'yedchem. This jewel is for me. This word's for me. Because I never understood, and now I understand. As long as you're dormant and the words are coming, you're absorbing it. If you're a kid, you're running around. Not, but I was a baby. I wasn't running around. So my this line there, I didn't hear. I heard it. I didn't know I was a little baby. But my neshama was absorbed all of this. And then now I know my mother was right for bringing my crib into the Beis Medrash. So we see from here the chashivas of listening. You know, people sometimes think, you know, I'm not going to that shir, listen to drasha, it's a waste of time, I don't understand it all. I understand a little bit. They say, you don't understand anything. As long as you're not, you know, busy with your whatever, but you're just sitting there listening, you don't have to understand the world, but it's bored, but everything will come back to you. When it comes to the next world, it'll all revive that. For a woman, it's like that. Kol Shekein, a man, you know, as mitzvah Talmud Torah, you just sit there and listen, you don't know, you're fine, you don't understand. It doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, waste of time. Why should I sit there and don't understand anything? See, here, it's not a waste of time at all. It's a tremendous effect. Okay, so end off something, let's say, tie in the end of the shir, from the beginning of the shir, that says in Perek Lamed Aleph Yud Zayin, not such nice things. It says V'chara Pi Hashem says that in the future the Klal Yisrael is going to sin, etc. And he says, I'm going to get angry at them. I'm going to hide my face from them. They're going to become prey. They're going to find terrible raos, evil, much evil raos, v'tzaros, etc. So something we mentioned at the beginning of this year, the chida, that we said that the Tochacha has, we said, 676 letters. So there's a hint to it over here as well. Why? Because 676 in Gematria is Raos. Resh, Ayin, Vav, Taf, that's 676. So the 676 with the letters of the Tochacha, the rebuke, is hinted to in the word raos. And therefore, that's what Hashem was saying over here. Umatzahu, raos, rabos, fitzaros. That you're going to find a lot of raos. What's raos? 676, the kolos. The raos here is a reference to the kolos, the hint that you're going to come, if you're going to off the derech, and you're going to end up worshipping Avodah Zarah, and a lot of raos are going to happen. The 676 letters of the tochacha. And then it says after that, Ve'amar, and you're going to say, Alkiena lokai bekirbi mitzani ha-ra'os ha'ela. Again, repetition of the word ra'os. Because of that, Hashem's not with me, that's why I found all these ra'os. Again, the 676 letters in the Torah. So he has a beautiful idea. David HaMelech says, Pasuk and Tehillim, Rabos ra'os tzadik, umikulam yatzilenu Hashem. Meaning, who's the tzadik here? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu rabos raos. Moshe Rabbeinu said over the raos, the 676 letters of the Tochacha. Moshe Rabbeinu rabos raos tzaddik. He said the raos. So what's going to be with us? There's still hope. Why? Umikulam yatzilenu Hashem. But from all of them, Hashem, because how does Hashem save us? Hashem, we said, if you remember, is 26. Yudke Vavke is 26. And we mentioned before at the beginning of this year that in the Tochacha, there's 26 Shemas of Hashem. So therefore, like we said before, 26 Shemas of Hashem in the Tochacha times Yudke Vavke 26 is 676. Mimela Rabos Raos Tzadik. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say all these Raos, that's the Tocha. But don't worry, because Mikulam from all them Yatzilenu Hashem, the Yudke Vavke found in the Tocha, a 676, which is Yudke Vavke, the 26 times is in the Tocha, Yatzilenu Hashem, Hashem's name, that's what's going to save us. That's what the Shem. They say, Tich Lashana Vakal Kil Loseha. As this year comes to the end, we should end with the kolos behind us, the Tichol Shana B'Yochaseh, and the new year come upon us, year of bracha, year of tzlacha. We should all be nichta v'nechtam in the book of Tzadikim Gemurim, l'altar l'chaim tovim v'shalom, and mizoiche this year to the Gula Shlema, b'mhira v'yameinu, amen.